great day. Blessings to you. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Behind the Eye of Kai with your host, Kaixa Rodriguez, aka Diamond Butterfly. Make sure you tell a friend and bring a friend. And come on back every Monday at 11:30 a.m. to 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join me for some hot, candid, informational, and entertaining, sometimes funny, witty conversation about everything under the sun, from music to food to love and laughter, business, and maybe we'll just ramble and chit-chat sometimes. I'm glad to have you. I hope you enjoy the show. Let's go. Hey, 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 butterflies. It's your girl, Kaixa Rodriguez, aka Diamond Butterfly. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. We are actually live today. It is Monday, January 22nd, when this show went live. I have to say that because occasionally I do, you know, replay old shows. So just in case this is a replay and you're watching it, hey, but you guys are live, right? So, so how was your new year? You know, we're still going to, it's all through January. We're going to make sure that we remind you that it is 2024, because I know it takes some people, me included, a while to mentally remember that it is now a brand new year with brand new things going on. And, you know, you'd be signing stuff and you still be putting 2023 and you're like, oh my goodness, it's 2024. I do it like well into February. I do it. I know I cannot be the only person that does that, but yes, I do that well into 2024. It's a mess. It's a whole entire crazy mess. Let me get this shared out and all of that good stuff. And well, I shouldn't say shared out because it shares on its own. I don't have to do all of that. But I just want to welcome you guys here. So today, I said that I would be answering some questions that some people have been asking over my career, not just at my time here as a podcaster. I have acquired several questions, and every once in a while I do something where I can answer some. So I said that today I was trying to figure out, like, what are we going to talk about? What are we going to talk about? What are we going to talk about? Y'all let me know too. Like, you feel free to send me some show topic ideas. Like I say all the time, we are here. We are part of the Trailblazers Radio Network. And there are several shows on this platform. So if you are looking for a place to get exposure, if you are PR for your artist, for your business person, for your whoever, if you are the personal assistant to somebody, if you yourself are a business person, if you yourself are an artist, a musician, an author, a poet, you have a business, you're somebody that just needs a platform to talk about something on and you would like to be a guest on the show, definitely reach out to us. I will put the email in the comments unless Fred sees this and he can send me the email real quick, because there is a particular email for you to reach out to say, hey, I saw Diamond's show and she mentioned that you guys, you know, how can I get on the show? How can I be a person on the show? Some people do charge to be guests. Some people don't. Some fees are smaller than others. But none of that should matter because, I mean, that's just life. You know what I mean? We got to pay to be on this platform. So some people you just have to pay. We don't have commercials and things like that just yet. If that is also available to you, though, you can sponsor a show. You can sponsor the platform. You can get your commercial aired on the show so that our viewers will know who you are and what you do, not just during your particular segment, but through every show. So if you sponsor, then we're going to talk about you every show that we're on. If you have a commercial, it's going to air at the beginning, at the middle, or at the end of the particular show, or all the shows, depending on the sponsorship package that you pick. So You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of things that we can do. I personally do reviews as well. So if you have a product or something that you would like to be reviewed, I do give honest reviews though. So listen, if you're just looking for someone that's going to say, "Oh my goodness, this is fabulous," and it's not, that's not me. I'm going to tell you, don't like it. I'm going to say, and I probably will hit you up first to be like, "Listen, I'm going to give an honest review. I really didn't like this because of X, Y, and Z." I always find something good. I mean, let's be honest, we've gotten some things in the mail or that we've bought that were just crap, you know. And if it's just crap, I don't want to blast anybody like that. So I probably wouldn't review it if I just absolutely 100% can't find anything good about it. Like maybe it fell apart as I was trying to apply it, or it has a, you know, whatever it is. I've bought some things that I was just like, I'm supposed to do with this. And then they have reviews that you can put, and then they try to block your reviews because they don't want the bad reviews. People just want good reviews. And I'm not that type of person. As an author, you can go to my page on Amazon and you'll see the good and the bad, the ones and the fives. Like I want to know them all because it helps me as an author to grow. Why didn't you like this book? What about it didn't you like? And like I've said, when T. Wade interviewed me editing, when I first started my journey as an author, getting into the first question, what was my hardest part of being an author was editing, was finding a really good editor that one I could afford, because editing is expensive as all get up. If you're looking for a cheap editor, I'm sad to report to you that you are probably not going to find one because it costs. You got to remember, people are going through, and I'm talking about as like a nonfiction, as a fiction writer. I can't speak on anybody who does like poetry books or, you know, 50 page books or 20 page books or anything like that, or nonfiction or cook. I don't know. I'm a fiction writer. My books are over 300 pages at 6x9, at the 6x9 size. They're 300, or I think book two is like 250, something like that. So I write over 200 page novels. Okay. So for me, that's going to cost me like $1,000. Now, authors, editors that I know do take payment plans if I'm getting a full in-depth editing. And I didn't know all of this at the beginning. So I used my computer, the spell check. I mean, this was 10 years ago or more when the book originally released, about 10 years ago. So I used my spell check. I used Microsoft. I went through all the stuff with Microsoft. I had a couple of friends read over it. Somebody, like in some groups that I was in, they said get beta readers, which are people who read your book for you. Because sometimes you read your book the way your mind reads it, the way you intended it to be. So you may have skipped an actual word typing it, but your mind knows what's supposed to be there. So your mind tells you it's there. So as you're reading the sentence, it puts the word in, even though the word's not there. Or it's misspelled, but your mind knows what it is supposed to say. So it reads it to you the way it's supposed to. So that's why it's really not a good idea to edit your own book. Now, however, you can have the book read to you on your computer. So I do that. I have it read to me, and that helps me a lot because I can catch a lot of stuff that I probably would not read. I do not want to go back and reread my book. Listen, I don't. It took me forever to write it. I don't want to go back and reread it. Number one, because like my glasses and all of that, my eyes get tired very, very quickly. So I just don't want to do it. But having the ability to have it read to me, yes, I can do that. Like right now, I'm just trying to find the time, book four, to get caught up to where I left off with writing so that then I can go back in and I can finish writing the book. But I did that with book three. I read it, I had the book read it to me, had the computer read it to me, and then I sent it off to Fred, who also does, he did a spell check proofreading, which is basically just like checking for obvious errors. You missed a word. This word is 100% spelled wrong. Is it spelled wrong on purpose, or is this a mistake? Like they're just doing a generalized overview. That's what proofreading is. Now, if they find extra stuff, an editor is going to be like, okay, your proofread is done. However, you might want to do a more thorough editing on this because of X, Y, and Z. When I first became an author, I didn't know anything about the author game. I didn't do any type of research. I didn't know anybody other than people who were doing poetry books. At the time, poetry books had just become big, was starting to be like the new big thing that people were doing, and poets were doing CDs. At the time, I was doing poetry. And so that was like the first thing that I, you know, I was thinking, hi, Simone, that I was going to do. I was going to do a poetry book. Back up. I was first supposed to do my autobiography. That's how I got into the writing game. I had some friends. My therapist was like, you should write your story. Like, you've been through a lot. You're doing way better than a lot of people that I know, not that I thought I was. And she was like, you should tell your story. Tell how you got to where you are now. And I'm thinking, I'm like two steps from jumping off a cliff. What are you talking about? Sorry about that. It my internet just went out. I don't know what happened. Apologies. This is why I have been doing reloading old shows the past couple of weeks, because I've been having issues with my internet. But everything seemed to be going good today. So I hope you're still here. I don't know what happened. Stop slacking, Simone. And I hope I'm saying your name right. Stop slacking. I mean, but writing an autobiography is not as easy as someone who hasn't tried it might think. Like, you have to know, number one, what you want to write about it. I tried to go back to like that old English, when you were in high school English, and do the, what is it called? The table. You know, where you like, what's chapter one going to be about? And you do the little bullet points. What's chapter two going to be about? And you do the bullet points. Or you just kind of briefly overview. All right, this is going to be my autobiography. These are the things that I want to tackle. Yes. Thank you. Good. These are the things that I want to tackle. My problem, though, is that my past is a big ball of yarn in my head. And I think maybe not here, but this is how I describe, and this is how I describe my brain, period. My brain is like a big ball of yarn. My past is a super huge ball of yarn. Okay, the hamburger method. And everything is just all mixed up. I don't remember dates. I don't remember the timeline. A lot of stuff from my youth, I don't remember timelines. I moved around so much as a child, from this family member to that family member, to this person, to that person. This happened here, but I also lived with them three different times. So at what time when I lived with them, even right now, like, I'm getting a migraine, just trying to unpack all of that, that little bit of just trying to figure out. So, and even in therapy, like, we have not been able to get the timeline straight. Like, I know I live with my grandmother is probably, and my mother, the longest stretch that I actually remember. My grandmother, I know I lived with her from I don't even know what age, but very, 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 very young until I was about 9 or 10. I remember that. Then went to live with my dad for a little while. And then I ended up, I think, with my mother. And see, even that is a little like those three things right there. I don't know. Like, I don't know. It's so hard, like trying to go back. People don't understand, Simone, how hard it is. I mean, like, unless it's something that you like, this is why it takes some people years to do their autobiography, because you've got to go back. You're telling your story. You want to get your story. This isn't a fiction. You want to get it straight. And you don't want someone who knows the facts to read your book and be like, girl, you lived here in 1965 and you said you lived here in 1969. Like, you want to make sure you get it right. So that was one of the reasons why I had a difficult time doing it. Then I couldn't figure out how to do it. Like, do I start as a little girl and then progress forward? Do I start as an adult, like I'm the adult, and kind of do that how they do in the movies, like flashback? Do I jump in as me from time to time and then flashback or flash? Like, how do I do it? So people say, just start writing. Just start writing, whatever it is. It doesn't even matter if it makes sense. Doesn't matter if it's, you know, right timeline-wise. Just start writing something. So that's what I did. I just started writing something, and it was way too painful. I couldn't. Every time I would start to write, every time I would start to get to the juicy parts, I would break down. I would have an anxiety attack, and I couldn't do it. So I was going to do like a 365 day, like an inspirational notebook type thing, like a little index cards with like the spiral bound on it, and 365 days of a year, every day you could flip it or you could whatever. That's what I was going to do. And I didn't do that either. So forward, you know, years later, what I did was I wrote my life in a fictional way. I don't even know how this story came up. I don't know what happened. I guess just throughout me just putting something down on paper. That too, Simone, that too, not knowing the full context of the story, that makes it even more hard, because you can only tell the parts that you know. And if there's a whole lot blank, like how do you tell, fix the gaps in your story when you're trying to tell somebody else your story? That's a hard one. And that's probably, you know, yeah, that's a hard one. So what I did was I just started writing, like I said, and what ended up happening was Beautiful came about. That was book one. That was that. And that book at the time was probably like 100-something pages when I first wrote it. That was the beginning of the 300-page book that is now Beautiful. And I didn't even bring it in here. It became kind of like the characters. I won't say each of the characters are not a little bit of me, but the story, the overall story, is kind of like a fictional version of my life. So every time this book one went through, hold on, I got to go get this book. Hold on. Okay, so I don't have, we lost everything. We used to live in Virginia. And when we moved back home, we lost everything. So I used to have every single version of my book. There's no way to get them now. They're gone. But the very first book that I did, the very first cover, I should say, was this night. It was really dark, but it was supposed to be the silhouette of a woman. Like, imagine me here. And they put a spine, like a book spine, through the middle of me and wrapped me around the book. So on one side was like one half of the woman, and then she just wrapped around the book as she was sitting. So I thought that was cool. But when I got the book, it was so dark. Like, it was dark blue, dark, dark, dark blue on black. She was in black and the background was like a super, super dark blue. So you could barely, barely, barely see her. And I was like, that's not going to work. So then I switched the cover to this like light bluish, turquoisey, because that's my favorite color, blue brick wall with a woman's face, I think, was on the front of it in outlined in white. That was cool. It was just a template from the POD, which is print on demand company that I was using at the time. Thank you, Simone. And then I had a friend inbox me and was like, oh my goodness, girl, your book is out here in California. I'm like, how is my book in California? And then she was like, no, oh my goodness, I saw the book cover and I thought it was yours. And she sent me a picture. It was a different author. We must have been using the same POD, picked the same cover layout. And then an author here in my city, one of my good friends, her poetry book had the same book cover. So I was like, oh gosh, I can't do this. I didn't know that other people, not knowing, could use the same layout. Like, here's a picture of a book cover. You can use it, but anybody else can use it as well. So yeah. And how the book evolved was every time I went back to do something, I was rereading the book. Because at the same time, I'm also getting people saying, hey, you might want to check your editing. Hey, you might want to check. So I'm going back and I'm rereading and I'm rereading. And then I'm wondering why I wrote this sentence like this, why I did this. So the book kept growing by like 10, 15, 20 pages every time I would go back in and touch it. So I put a picture of me on the cover. I was like, forget it. I'm just going to put my face on the cover. I don't want my face on the book, but nobody else is going to have a book with my picture on it. So that's what we're going to do. It was not the best of pictures. It was blurry. It was super pixelated. I didn't know. I just took one of my favorite picture that I got a whole bunch of likes on or people said they liked, and boom, that was the cover of the book. I didn't know. I had no idea writing a book was, because all you see is like people, did they just drop in books? And this was at the beginning of a normal everyday person writing a book, right? So now this is book three. This is the third cover. So someone was like, no, you should get, there's people who do book covers. You should get someone to do your book cover. And I was like, oh, there's people who do book covers? And they were like, yeah, I'll connect you with my person. So they connected me with their person. Her name is Donna Osborne Clark. I am not sure if she still does it, but if she does, she's amazing. I couldn't find her on Facebook anymore, but her website is still up. So, but her name on Facebook is Donna Osborne Clark. And I think her website was Creations by Donna or Creation by Donna. One of the two. Creation by Donna or Creations by Donna is her website. And she's done like magazines. She's done really big stuff. So it was like $250 to get a book cover, which didn't seem like a lot to me, but it did seem like, I was like, $250. Oh my God. But she's very precise. She's very good at what she does. You know, she takes into account, she can't do it until, she's not just giving you a picture to put to upload. She's giving you the whole back, the spine wrapped around. So she needs to know when your book is done, how many pages it is, all of that good stuff. She's going to give you, she was giving us, you know, the JPEG. She gave us a lot of stuff that came in that package for the $250. So the problem was, though, that I didn't know to ask for her to, like, airbrush my picture. So I picked a new picture, another nice picture. I picked a new picture. And so now we're on 1, 2, 3, 4. We're on 4. Book cover number 4, right? So we get that. She does that. And then like a year later, someone says, why don't you, you should ask her to fix, like, airbrush your picture. Cause I didn't know anything about that. So I asked her, she did it. So we upload the new picture again. And I don't count that as 5 because it's the same picture. It's just, I look better on it. So, but the page count did increase a little bit more. The page count definitely went up. And then I was like, you know what? I'm done. I want a book cover that reflects the story. Like, this is just too much. I want a book cover that reflected the story that I was telling, the characters on the cover. So I talked to her, still working with her. No, and I don't have any of those books. Oh, the cover that I have now. So the cover before this one, this is the book cover now. The cover before this one, Donna did. It was three people. It had the flower. But what it didn't have, this person was missing. We used him. These are people that I know. I wanted people that I knew on the cover. I didn't want to do stock art. I didn't want to use any pictures that someone else could also use. Because if you use stock art, they're just people who are selling their pictures. So anybody can use those pictures. Anybody else can buy it, put it on a magazine. Anybody else can buy it, put it on their book. I ran into issues, not me personally, but I knew authors back then who were using the same girl on the picture. Like several authors were using the same girl, the same pose over and over and over again. So there's like 50 books out with the same girl in it. And I'm like, no, that's not what we're doing. So I asked a couple of friends, hey, would y'all like to be on my book cover? And they said, yeah. For some reason, finding a guy with locks was like the hardest thing in the world. And at the time, remember, this is like 2011. So this was probably like 2015, not that long ago, but long enough. No, before that. No, I don't know. But it was somewhere between 2000 and probably 7 and 2015, somewhere in there. The stock art for Black men with locks or black, I call them locks. Some people call them dreads. I don't like calling them dreads, but were terrible. The selection was, they all looked horrible. Sorry to anybody who had their pictures out way back then, but the pictures looked horrible. They looked like drug addicts, really. They look disheveled, they look dirty, they look, I'm like, okay, so is this the only, and we went, she sent me to like different stock art websites to search this up, and she was searching, and she was like, I can't find anything that I would want to put on this pitch on your book. Like, he's a bad guy. Like, this character is a bad guy. He is. I mean, but people play bad guys all the time. Doesn't mean you're the bad guy in real life. But he's a guy who has money. He's an ex-basketball player. So he's got money. He's wealthy. He has businesses. Like, so he's not going to be on anywhere looking disheveled and dirty, and his locks are all crazy looking. It took me forever. Like, I was posting every month. Like, I just need a Black man with locks who wants to be on my book cover. Oh, I got a cousin. He'll do it for you. Would never hear back. Oh, my brother. Would never hear back. Oh, I'm down. Would never hear back. So I was just like, you know what? Forget it. So what we ended up putting this Italian looking guy on the cover because we couldn't even find a decent, just like Black man picture to go on the cover. And like at that point I had my four friends, and I didn't even have the fifth. The book is about five people. It took me forever to find the fifth character, and it took me forever to find this character. So he is somebody that I know. He's local. He's actually a musician. He's a rapper. His name is Toon Leaf the Rambler. And I don't know why I didn't think about it, like, as soon as I saw him to ask him, because this cover could have been done a few years ago, but I didn't. But eventually I did ask him, like, hey, would you like to be on my cover? But even throughout social media, like, I was still posting looking for a guy with locks to be on the book cover, and nobody was reaching back. So, and I knew several. And yeah, so I reached out to him personally and asked him. He said, yeah. I said, well, I need you to, like, I know you're like a sweatsuit kind of guy, but I need you like in a dress shirt or a suit. Like, you need to look like you got dough. Like, I need you to really look like you think a ball, because he's got the height. So he did that. I had to redo the whole cover. Shout out to Canva. Listen, Canva, this is, if I had, I don't even know if I still have the original book, but it looks pretty close to the original cover. And then I just used, CreateSpace, I just used CreateSpace's. They have templates, but they're not templates. Like, I can put my own picture in there. So it's not like somebody else. I can just decide which of their templates. So their templates are more like, where do you want? In this template, the title would be here. In this template, the title will be here. In this template, the title will look like this. So that's kind of what their templates look like. So I had to pick which one, or you could just upload a picture. So that's what I did. I did this. I put everything the way I wanted it. I uploaded the picture. And then I just put in my information for the back of the book and the spine of the book. Woo! So that was done, right? Long story short, editing is hard to get back to that. Editing has been editing. And I guess because I am adamant about not wanting to use stock art, finding actual people to be the on the covers, because my vision for my series was to actually turn it into like videos. It's like do short videos of like each in the book to like get people that I knew, people that act out the scenes. That was what I wanted. That was my vision. And, you know, 10 years later, we still haven't done that. I just, the end of last year, found the cover, not the cover, the, a few years ago, I found the character, the fifth person. But I put my books down for several years. I had some health concerns, put my books down for several years, and I didn't do anything with the books. So I don't even know if he's still interested. I need to reach back out to him and make sure he's still interested. But so yeah, this book probably started, I want to say, yeah, this might be, I really think that book one originally was about this, was about like this. And this is book one now. Okay. So this is how much the book has grown. Almost double in size. Almost double in size. This is my niece's book, by the way. This is called Chingo and Jewel by Treyana Carter. This is my niece's book, by the way. Make sure y'all head over to Amazon and check her out. Her book is 265 pages. Is my book over 300 pages? Wait a minute. Hold up. Hey, where's the page numbers? I don't know. There's no page numbers. This is not the final. This is the proof, but there's no page numbers in there. But I know it's over 300 pages. Thank you. So then we get to book two. So we had all of those issues with book one, right? Editing, getting the cover done. Before I get to that final cover, I drop book two. So this is an actual couple. They're a married couple. So they agreed to be on the cover. This is my half sister. Well, not my half sister. She's my sister's sister, the sister of my sister. That makes sense, right? So she's not my blood sister, but I asked her to be on the cover. So it is not an adult book. People see seduction and they're like, oh my God, I don't know if I can read that book, girl. I'm like, it's not that type of book. Just seduction doesn't always mean something sexual. You could be seduced by your dreams, your goals. It just means something that pulls you in away from whatever else it is supposed to be. I mean, you could be seduced by a piece of cake, girl. You know what I mean? Like, seduction doesn't always mean sexual. So this is not an erotic book. Okay. This is not an erotic book, but, and I got to fix the back. Look at, it's tiny, tiny. I can't even read that. But this was book two. And so I ran into a lot of the same issues editing. Like a lot of my reviews, and I leave all of my reviews up unless people are like downright disrespectful. Like you can tell me that I have issues. People always blame the author. First and foremost, they always say, who did your editing? Or you must not know the English language if you put this book out. Like we pay people. If we knew how to do it, we would do it ourselves and save ourselves hundreds to thousands of dollars on editing. You go to a hairdresser, you go to get your car done. If your car falls apart, people don't blame you. You know what I mean? Well, I guess they do blame you because you didn't take care of it. But listen, I paid money to get the editing done, and then there were still issues. This book had like the most horrendous thing left in the book. Like, so one person said, how you put the author's name in the book for the character's name. So I'm like, what? I don't know how I was able to get in touch with this person that left the review that said that. But I was like, what are you talking about? And they told me, yeah, in your book, it was supposed to say Tierra. That's the character's name. And instead it said Caixa. And I'm like, but I had this book edited. Like, how did they not catch that? Like, what? And I reread it. Going back to, as the author, my mind reads what it knows I'm supposed to have written. So I read back. I always read back through after you get your edit. They're going to send it back to you so you can see their suggested edits and their remarks. And you say yay, nay, and then you send it back to them. And then they send it back to you with all of the corrections. You get the final product. So I'm like, I went through it. I didn't see that. Lo and behold, I opened the book. I'm going through like the chapter that she said it's in, and it clear as day. Right there, it's like Caixa went blah blah blah, and I'm like, Caixa ain't went nowhere. I'm just like, oh, I cannot. Like people aren't gonna get. I'm in my head. I'm thinking people are not gonna give me another chance. People who read book one and book two are gonna be like, this girl is gotten worse, not better. So I ended up like I had a publisher reach out to me, which just blew my mind. I was like, oh, a publisher reached out to me? Like, oh my goodness, yay. So me and Tony, we both joined. Fred joined, my niece joined. I had a friend here who I knew was writing a book. I introduced them. So a few people that I knew that were trying to write books or were writing books, I introduced them to this publisher. We all signed with this publisher. My books are already done. They're already out. So they just republished them under their name. They do another edit on the book, make whatever changes they think need to be changed, leave the covers as is, and then republish them. Why did I still have errors? Why? So you know how many eyes have been on. So at this point, I'm just like, editors to me personally, I'm just like, I can't trust anybody to edit my book. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do besides like giving my book to like an English professor, which I tried to do because that was suggested to me as well. So like my son was in college at the time and he was in some type of program in school where they like read random books. So I was like, why don't you take my book and have them read it and give me their feedback? And they could, you know, email me, whatever. That didn't work. Like, I just feel like at every turn, I was just getting either closed doors or doors that opened and then shut back. And I never heard back from anybody afterwards. So it was just a consistent, like, what is going on? What is going on? Sorry, guys. Okay. I never did post what the question. I didn't post the question, but that is the answer to the question. So the answer to the question was, what has been my biggest issue as an author? Another one, as we've talked about, how did book one and book two come about? They started off supposed to be in autobiographies turned into a series. Book three right now is just waiting for me to get the picture with the characters, because I do have I have all three characters now. This was another one where there was that one character. This book three has been done for years, and I've just been trying to get that one character, and I didn't want to go through the same process that I went through with book one all over again. I didn't want to go through changing the cover. I wasn't going to put the book out until I got the person. And I didn't want to use stock art. And I'd never even looked for stock art for this particular character. And it's not a hard, like, I just needed race unimportant, age really important, only up until you had to look like you were in college, like an older college student, like maybe like not 18, 19, maybe 22 tops. You had to look like you were like 20 to 22 tops. And like you could be in college, you know what I mean? So throw a sweater on and grab some books and sit down and take a picture. You know what I mean? Like, that was it. One guy was going to be the good guy in the story. The other guy was going to be the bad guy in the story. One guy had to look like he was an artist, like a hip hop artist. And the other guy had to look like he was the good guy. And that was it. Or the bad guy. That was it. And then the girl was a college student, young college student. That was it. That was all I needed. And it took me forever. It took me forever. Like last year, I got those two people. I mean, I did have one person. I did have the picture for the college student, but then that fell apart. So, I mean, for the young lady, I had her, and then it just fell apart. So I'm like, okay, so now we got to find some more people. So that's what we did. And I finally found the last person. Now it's the new year. I said we were going to wait, get through the holidays and all of that. Now we just got to mesh everybody's schedules so that we can get pictures. Or I would love to get pictures with them together, because I think that just helps with promoting the book. If I can get, you know, different pictures with them, engaging with each other, you know, to kind of tell the story through pictures. And then if we get some single ones and we can just throw them together on a cover and, you know, position them and all that good stuff, that works as well. So that's book three. Book four, I may end up having to do stock art, only because as hard as it's been to find regular people, I need babies. Like I need two-year-old, yeah, they're roughly two-year-old babies. And that at the time I had babies, but I didn't get the pictures that I needed. Otherwise, I could still use them, because I think her children were like a year apart, but they looked good enough age-wise, close enough in age-wise that they could have been, because it was a boy and a girl. They're a set of twins, but it's a boy and a girl. So one could always be bigger, you know, look younger since they're not identical. But I didn't take the pictures. I am a procrastinator, Simone, like you. I'm a procrastinator. I put things off because my plate is always so overwhelmed, which again is another question, is how do you get everything done with all the different things that you do? Something every day does not get done. Something every day does not get done. Because I just have so much to do. How do you get things done? All right, so that was one of the questions. So I'm an author. I am a vocalist. I'm a poet. I'm a makeup artist. I am a... I also do some baking, cooking. Sometimes I sell like plates and things like that. So baker, cooker. I'm a influencer for a couple of makeup brands, PR manager for one of those brands. I do Mary Kay. I was doing Tupperware as well. I want to get back into Tupperware. I really do. I just kind of put so much on my... I just had my grandbaby for a week, practically a week, because they're coming home today, and I got her last Tuesday or Wednesday, I think. Last Wednesday. I had her since last Wednesday. So last night she went with her uncle, my son. They live on the first floor. My other son, he kept her last night because I had to get up this morning to go to the dentist. So I've had her for like 5 days. Listen, to you grandparents out who can handle taking care of your little babies, I give it to y'all. Because listen, your girl is beat. Okay. And she was good. Like my son and his partner, they'd be like, she'd be up all night and I could hear her. She'll be crying and stuff. And I'd be like, she wasn't doing any of that with me. Like she was pretty good. She just, you know, they don't sleep all. She's only 2 months. So they don't sleep all night yet. So she want to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and she don't always want to just take a bottle and go back to sleep. Now she want to play. She up. She want to sit up and she want to be like, Kiki, what we doing? Kiki going to sleep. Like, Ivy need to go back to sleep. What you mean? What we doing? I didn't turn the light on. Like if she woke up, don't turn the light on, change the diaper, give her a bottle and don't interact with her too much because then you stimulize her again, you stimulate her again and now she's up. So I was like, I'm not talking to you. I'm going to change your diaper here in the dark. One time I changed the diaper and when I put her clothes back on, I could feel the diaper wasn't on her butt. I'm like, what did I do? I never pulled the little Velcro thing. I never opened it and pulled it over. I just pulled it over so it wasn't attached to anything. Like, listen, y'all, the first night it was terrible. It was so bad the first night. Like I let her sleep until like 10. And then gonna call myself trying to put her back to sleep at like 11. She was like, you bugging. So the next night at like 9, gave her a bath, put her in her tub, gave her a nice little 10-minute bath, you know, washed her hair, let her sit in like the nice warm water, got her redressed, you know, massaged her down with the lotion, put her pajamas on. Put on like her little rain sounds and stuff that she likes to sleep to. She sleeps to rain sounds. Gave her bottle. Actually, no, I didn't give her bottle yet. I played with her a little bit, get her extra tired, play with her for a little bit. Then I think at 10:30, she was asleep. She got her bottle somewhere between 9:30 and 10:30. And then by 10:30, she was knocked out. She woke up. She still woke up at 2:30. But changed her, gave her a bottle, and she went back to sleep. I was like, yes, yes, we got this. I'm like, yes, we know what to do now. It didn't work the next day. We're on night 3. It didn't work the next night. She was again up and fussing and wanting to play. Like, I shouldn't even say fussing because it wasn't like she was really fussing. She just wanted to play. She wanted to play. So yeah. So consistency has been my issue. Consistency is my kryptonite. Me having so much on my plate, me having so much to do, me never wanting to say no, that's one of my personal biggest issues is I want to always be a help. It's kind of like I want to be needed. I need to feel like I'm doing something. So sometimes to my own detriment, because then I get overwhelmed. I can't take care of myself because I'm busy taking care of everybody else. Then I get mad when those same people either don't want to understand when I can't do what I said I would do, or when I need something, they don't, you know, they're not trying to help me back. And I'm like, do you know that I wanted to go to the hospital, but I didn't go because you needed me? You know what I mean? And they do get that serious. Like, you know, so I don't take care of myself as well as I should because I'm always taking care of somebody else or something else. For somebody else. And when your therapist says, so what do you do for yourself? And I'm like, well, I do my lives, not this one, like my makeup lives. And she's like, well, isn't that for the company? Like, isn't that your obligation? So that's not really for you. Like, what do you do for you? So you, I'm asking you guys too. What do you do that's like 100% for you? Like, do you take a bubble bath? Do you, you know, just a hot, long shower to decompress? Do you you know, go for a walk? Do you, you know, play games on your phone? Do you watch your favorite show? You know, cook your favorite meal? Like, what do you do that's for nobody else, just for you? And I had to sit and I had to think about what I do that is just for me. Because I don't do a lot that is not tied to somebody else, that's not tied to some other obligation. Like even working on my music at the time wasn't even just for me, because it was part of my obligation to the label I was on. Writing the music is for me. Listening to music and writing, that is for me. Music, listening to music is for me. Even though I love helping my husband record his music and stuff, that's not for me. That's for him, right? Cooking is my love language. I love to cook. I love to see people's enjoyment of the food when I cook it. That is something I feel like is for me, but at the same time, I feel like it's an obligation. Wife, mother, you cook. That's what we do. Not all women cook. I'm not trying to put that out into the universe that it's a woman's job to cook. I feel like it's the woman's job to cook because I love to cook. Because I love to cook. And because sometimes when we speak and we say what we like to do, people expect you to do it, right? People expect you to do it. No one in my house expects me to cook. My mother often offers to cook. If I don't cook, my husband doesn't come home like, where's dinner? What am I supposed to eat? He's not like that. If he sees that I didn't cook, he'll just go make him something to eat. It's no big deal. But for me, that I feel like is as sometimes obligated as I feel to do it, I feel bad if I don't do it. Like, because I love to cook. Like if I could cook for people all day, every day, I probably would be happy. No, I wouldn't, because there's other things also. I'm a creative person. So this is probably why I need to keep my hands need to be right. I do have ADHD too. Like my mind is always going, which is why I don't sleep. Another reason why I can't get things done, because I'm not sleeping. Another reason why with the grandbaby, I'm just like, please go to sleep, because my body finally wants to go to sleep and you want to be up talking. Like she legit wanted to be up talking. Like she wasn't crying. She just wanted attention. Like she was just like, talk to me, Kiki. What's going on? How was your day? She's only 2 months. Like, I don't know what she was saying, but she literally just wanted to talk. And I'm like, girl, I'm not stimulating you. I'm not having this conversation with you. You need to take this bubble and go back to sleep. Yeah. So like, listen, if there's anything that you would like me to answer, if there was anything that you would like to know, let me know. So, you know, this is not my first podcast. That was another question, you know, Okay, so the other question was, is this my first time being a radio host? And no, it is not. Tony and I did a show, not even briefly, for a year, maybe a little bit longer, when we first got together. So back in 2010, I want to say, we did a radio show on Blog Talk Network. We actually won an award for that, for doing that show. And we interview people from all over the world. I miss that show. I wish we'd never stopped. We'd probably be huge right now. Because we interview people from Africa, we interview people in Iceland, we interview people in United Kingdom, like everywhere. We had all different types of people. We had gospel artists, we had just everybody, authors, we had musicians, we had business owners, all different types of people come on our show. And it was a podcast where you don't get to see the host. You don't get to see them blog talk. You just hear them. You call in, you're on your phone at home, wherever that is, and you're just talking on your telephone. And it was really, really cool. Like Tony and I joke, and well, Tony jokes about this all the time, that he and I could have like been just like had a terrible day, been mad at each other. You know, it'd be 6 p.m. time for the show. I'm like, and you know what? You can sleep on the couch tonight. Hey guys, welcome to the show. You know what I mean? You would never know. You would never guess it. Like, we just weren't that. Like, if this show, we could conduct our business. And usually what it would do is it would fix us. You know, we're sitting there, we're laughing, we're ha-ha. And usually we're sitting right next to each other because we would have the phone on speaker instead of trying to do two phones in other rooms. And then you get the feedback and all of that type of stuff. So we'd usually be sitting there with our phone on the living room table on speaker or something while we're talking. And by the end of it, it's like, okay, so what you want for dinner? Are we going for a walk? What are we gonna do? We'd be cool. I totally missed that show. I think it is still available because according to what I understand, like it doesn't disappear. So if you look up Sofa Chats, I think it's Sofa Chat, Sofa Chats with T and K, I think is what Sofa Chats Radio maybe with T and K. If you come back to, if you're on YouTube, if you're watching through YouTube, either on Diamond Butterfly or Trailblazers Radio on or Diamond Star Entertainment on YouTube. I will put it in the comments. I'll also put it in my comments on, let me see, it's on my Facebook page, Kaixa Rodriguez, and then it's on the Trailblazers Radio Facebook page as well. So I'll make sure Fred drops it in there, and I'll get the exact link if anybody wants to go and check it out. Like I said, it's on Blog Talk Radio is the website. Whoops, I can't spell. Blog Talk Radio is the website, and our show was called, I really believe it's like the same show that we have now. We just kept the same name. It's either Sofa Chats with T and K or Sofa Chats Radio with T and K. But if it's that, should pull up something. Like if you put in Sofa Chats with T and K, it should give you some ideas, you know, and you should be able to find us through one of those terms over on Blog Talk. But I will definitely get the exact link and I will put it up in there on all of these different platforms that we are currently streaming to make sure that if you guys want to check it out, you can. We used to have a lot of artists. Like the one that I loved the most, like there were two. We interviewed this gospel artist group, was a band, like a gospel group from Iceland. We are on at like, I think our show was like at 6 p.m. and it had to be like 3 a.m. their time, something like, I don't know. But it was like early in the morning their time and they're up. We'd same thing when we had this artist on from England. She was another gospel artist, and it was like middle of the morning, early super morning for her, late at night here. And she was on, and you know, they will be like, they didn't sound sleepy, they didn't sound anything like that, you know what I mean? So now that you can see people, it makes it a bit more personalized, of course, for you, because you actually get to see who it is that's talking to you, and if I had a guess, you would actually get to see them. But it's also a bit more, it can be overwhelming for people to know that they got to be on camera. You know, like some people are like, it means I got to have my hair done. It means I got to be dressed right. How far can you see up? Like, is it just my head that you see? Do you see my waist? You know, so for some people, it can be, you know, a little daunting to be on camera. Some people enjoy the anonymity of you just hear my voice. Like I don't got to be dressed at 3 o'clock in the morning. I could be in my pajamas and all of that. So I don't know if I could get those people on now where it's visual, but that would be fun to go back and interview some people that we had from the past and see, you know, how things are going now. I might have to go over there and see and figure out how. I might have to do that. I might have to find the email because it was a PR. Their PR kept feeding us people. Like, it was crazy. Like, we had this one, whoever their publicist was, like, she must have been a publicist for a lot of people because she just kept feeding. All of our overseas people came from her. And it was awesome. It was so awesome. And a lot of our guests, like, we probably would have never had, because they probably would have never known who we were. But we had, like, really unique, different types of guests. So, like, I missed that part of it, you know, like, so which is why we always wanted to bring the show back. We just never did. Now Blog Talk charges. Like, we did try to get back into the Blog Talk. We did like one or two shows. But it was like, it charges you. And I don't know if it's because it's the free plan, like we're streaming through Stream, like a lot of these things you do pay to use the platform, but then they were paying you to call in as well. So I don't know if it's because when we went back, we were on the free plan. Maybe if you, you know, upgrade to the paid plan, you no longer have to call. Like, why do I have to pay to call into my own? You want like a penny a minute, but still, like, you do an hour show, like, that's 60 cents. Like, listen, that adds up, you know? But yeah. So what else? Makeup artistry. I've got the question of how long have I been doing makeup? I've been doing makeup for probably since my high school years. Okay. That's probably, it says Blog Talk Radio, how long doing makeup? I don't even know why was that there. Oh my goodness, that's crazy. All right, let's repost this so that it looks better. I've been doing makeup, like I said, since about my high school years. I've been doing makeup on others since about 2014. Since about 2014, when we were in Virginia is when I started. And actually, it's because I was doing Mary Kay. And sorry, trying to get my phone to turn around. It's because I was doing Mary Kay. Yeah, oh, yes, we interviewed George Clinton's niece. Yes. How did I forget that one? Tony's on now, sneaking on at work. Yes, that was an amazing interview as well. Like, that was like our first, you know, kind of famous person, you know, like, to talk about being George Clinton's niece. That was amazing. That was amazing. But I, doing Mary Kay, and you know, Mary Kay, you try before you buy. So you meet with them, you do your own, your pampering session. And then I had some people that would be like, I don't know how to do makeup. Can you do it for me? And so, right, but Mary Kay, they really don't want you touching because you're not a licensed cosmetologist. They'd be like, I don't care, girl. I just want you to do my makeup. So I'd be like, well, I'm gonna need you to sign here that says you allow me to do your makeup, even though you know I'm not licensed, because I ain't trying to get sued. So that's how it started. That's basically how it started. Me doing people's makeup, learning more. Then I started going live on Facebook. I did my first live at like 3 o'clock in the morning. One of my Facebook friends was like, girl, I'll go with you. I'll be up. I'll be with you. And Facebook, again, is kind of like this, where you see me, but I have no idea who's watching you. So this is how I got to be comfortable doing this, by going live on Facebook. It's like, you're just talking to yourself. Just think about, you just talk, you're imagining that people are listening, because you never know. So, you know, she's the one who taught me, you always act as if there's 1,000 people watching. As soon as you hit that live button, you act as if there's 1,000 people watching. It always drove me crazy when people would go live. And if you do this, there's no shade to you. I'm just speaking how I feel. When people be like, okay, we're just waiting for people to come in the room. I'm just going to wait. I need to get 50 people in here before I say anything. So I'm like, there's replays. People can rewatch this. So when people are rewatching your live, they're sitting there seeing you doing nothing for the first 5 minutes. They're just watching you talk about how you need 5 more people, 10 more people to get in here before you start doing either your makeup or you start talking about whatever it is that you want to talk about. But you're not going to say nothing until you get 50 people in here. And it's like, so for even the people that are there live with you, it's like, we're trying to support you. Like, what about us? So we don't matter that we're here. You need to get the 50 people before you, the people that are here can be acknowledged and feel supported. So I've always been one, when she told me that, from the moment I hit live, I'm acting like there's 1,000 people in the room. I'm going to be upbeat. I'm going to be happy. Unfortunately, as time has gone on, I've had a heart attack, some other medical issues. So my brain and my mouth don't always work. So if you watch me a few times, you know that I get tongue-tied. I get hung up on my words. I don't remember what I'm saying or what topic I was on. I think that just adds to the fun. This adds to the fun of the live. You know, it's 100% authentic. This isn't some, you know, AI or anything like that. This is all me keeping it real. But I've always been that person. You're never going to hear me speak to you like you don't matter. Like, there's not enough of you here for me to do what I need. Like, I came on here to go live, but there's not enough of you in the room for me to do what I came here for. Y'all aren't important enough for me to do what I need more of you from. It's not worth my time. Like, I'll never act like that. Even if I'm live on, like, say, TikTok or Facebook, and I'm like, hey, please share it out, I'm still going to keep going. Like, if nobody shares and nobody else pops in, there's been times that I've done lives and there's been no, that little button that says the amount, like right now, it tells me how many people are watching, how many people have hearted. I can see the comments. Like, there's been times that I've been live on Facebook. If you've ever been live on Facebook or live on TikTok or live on Instagram or anywhere that you can go live, on YouTube, and there's nobody watching, nobody pops in and pops out, but I'm still going to give the same energy because I know you can replay. So you may not be here right now, but you might come back and you might watch later. And I don't want you to see me sitting there like, so I guess everybody was busy. Like, I don't want you to feel that energy. Like, I want to be, so y'all pop in and be like, I'm going to be like, yeah, girl, because when we went, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and then y'all can see that there's no comments and be like, well, who was she talking to? Because nobody was watching, but I don't care because I'm doing this as much for me as for you. This helps me to get out of my shell, okay? This helps me to learn public speaking. This helps me with my fear of speaking because it does get quite overwhelming when you have to worry about every time you talk, if it's going to come out correctly. Is what you intend to say going to be what you say? Is the thought in your brain going to make it to your mouth and escape your lips? Can you even get the thought in your head? Like, I want to say, talk about that book, but my mind can't remember the name of the book, or I'm going to get tongue-tied trying to say the name of the book. It becomes like a consistent think about what you're going to say before you say it, then you miss what you're currently saying. Oh, it's crazy. So these things are as much for me as they are for you. So I'm going to give it 100%. I'm always going to give my best. I'm always going to give it my all. I'm always, 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 always going to do that. Even when I feel like crap, even if me and Hubs have been like, we are still going to give you 1,000% of our energy. Because, you know, it's like being an actress, or it's like being an actor, or it's like, you know, you go to work. Well, I can't say that because some of y'all go to work and you bring your problems with you. Like, ain't nobody at work did nothing to you. And you at work taking the person on the bus that stepped on your toe, you taking all that anger out on them. I'm not going to do that because y'all ain't did nothing to me. And I love y'all and I need you here with me. But okay, so that was how long have I been doing makeup. So yeah, so and it's like I said, it's just evolved over that. I would love to do it a whole lot more than I do it. It's my passions are writing, My passions are doing makeup because I love to do things that make people feel good. That is what I love to do. So cooking being my love language, I love to feed the soul. Like, my books feed your soul, my food's gonna feed your belly, and then I'm gonna make you look pretty on the outside because you might feel like crap on the inside. So full belly, something to read, and now you look in the mirror and you be like, oh girl. And it could be something as simple as what I got on today, which is just basically just a little foundation, like nothing else. I didn't do my eyebrows, I got a little bit of liner on, and that's it. My lip gloss is gone. You know what I mean? That's it. The super, super, super soft sleigh to the super bold. I do it all. My eyes are getting a little bit bad though now. I need to start wearing my glasses more than I do. But like, if I could do those three things for life, write, cook, and do makeup and make good money at it, I'd be overwhelmingly happy. I'd be so happy because those are the three things that I do for me that make me happy. They make me happy. Those are the three things that I do for other people that make me the most happy, other than now taking care of my granddaughter. But like I said, listen, and she's only going to get more energy. So I'm trying to get myself into shape, trying to lose some weight, trying to eat healthier, trying to be more positive. Like I said, this is my year to like throw all of the fear and the doubt and the self-disbelief, all of that stuff out the door, putting it out the car, throwing it out the window, locking the car and driving off and just letting it sit wherever it's at. Like, you stay there. I'm not coming back for you. I say it every year, but this is the year. This is the year. Like, I just made a post the other day, like, stop putting lip service to your goals. Stop putting lip service to your dreams. Stop putting lip service to the things that you say you want to do or you want to stop doing, or the things that you say, places you want to see, places. Stop putting lip service. So if you're not going to put in the work, stop talking about it. And I say that is what I say to myself now. Stop talking about it if you're not really going to do what it is that you need to do to get it done, because you're just lying. Why? Because everybody around you know you've been saying that for years, so they ain't trying to hear it. They're going to be like, oh, you're going to lose weight this year. Mm-hmm. You're going to go on another diet this year. Mm-hmm. How many years has she been saying this? Oh, yeah, girl, go ahead. Come on, stop. Because they know you're going to go to the gym for a month and you're going to stop. And that's what because it's what you do every year. You know this because it's what you do every year. Now, does that sound harsh? But listen, I'm sorry. Somebody got to tell it to you like it's meant to be told. And I'm telling it to myself because I do it. I know consistency is hard for me. So I know this about myself. So be honest with yourself about why you have not fully gone after whatever it is that you want to do. Why are you not putting your all into it? If you're still talking about it, it's because it's something you're meant to do. You are meant to write that book. You are meant to start that business. You are meant to whatever it is. Nobody's saying you got to be a skinny stick to be healthy, but get healthy. Being 400 pounds is not healthy. Being 300 pounds is not healthy. Are you out there running every day? You can't be 5'2 and be 300 pounds and tell me that you're healthy. You can't. You can love yourself though. 100% you can love yourself. I love myself at 250. I didn't realize how big I was though until I lost weight. And then I went back and I looked at pictures and now I can see side by side. What the world? How y'all let me? And then I'm yelling at everybody around me like, how y'all let me get this big? And they should have said, we ain't let you do nothing, girl. You put them cheeseburgers in your mouth. Ain't nobody let me get big. I put them cheeseburgers and them chips and them milkshakes in my mouth. I ate the plate big enough for a lumberjack. That was me. I did that. It ain't nobody else's fault but me, right? I used to be so athletic. Could do the splits and cartwheels, and I walked half my city all the time. And I don't know, at some point, I not even because I did it with my kids. So I don't know what happened that I stopped doing it. I got less active. I should just turn the music on and dance around my room when I was in high school for hours till my grandmother would come and knock on the door. Girl, if you don't turn that music down. that's how I stayed in shape. Like, I would just do, I walked to school. Like, if anybody knows where we live now in Springfield, I went to Putnam. I would walk some days. Like, why am I standing here in the cold waiting a half an hour for this bus when in a half an hour I could have already been to school? Or I'd walk up to State Street and catch the bus from up there because there's like 10 buses going to my school versus the one that I'm waiting for to come over closer to my house. Like, if I could walk it, or I would walk until I saw a bus coming. Like, when I used to work, I lived out in this area, again, in Forest Park area of Springfield, but I worked at the Burger King up Cooley Street. And so walking up Sumner Ave, I had to drop my two little ones off at daycare, which was like halfway up Sumner Ave. The bus is at 5:30. So that means we leave in the house at 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm walking these kids up to this lady's house, dropping my kids off, then trying to get back to the corner before the bus came. I did a whole lot of walking and stuff. And then at some point, I just stopped. I didn't do as much as I was doing. And then the weight just slowly creeped on. I swore I would never be over 200 pounds. And then I was pushing. And then the depression sets in as you keep, as the numbers keep rising. Depression sets in and it's like, oh my goodness, not only am I over 200, I'm 210. Oh my God, I'm 220. Oh my God, I'm 240. What the hell? I'm 250. Like, and then I got down to 170 and then COVID hit and you couldn't go to the gym and you couldn't do this and you couldn't do that and you couldn't, and depression set in again and I returned to my old eating ways and now I'm back over 200. And now my body hurts like way worse. And all of those things that I was starting to not feel, I wasn't feeling the aches and my knees weren't hurting. Like, I had both my knees replaced. Anybody who knows about that knows they had to be bad in order for them to do them for me, because I'm only 51 now, but I got them done like 3 years ago. I was in my 40s. They don't replace knees for people who are in their 40s. Okay, but I had to lose some weight first. I had to do some things first before they would do it because they're only good for 20 years. So he's like, yeah, probably in your 60s, we'll have to touch them up and do them again. But the way they feel right now, like, I'm still in pain. I got new knees and I'm still in pain. Matter of fact, I'm in worse pain than I was before I got my knees done. So I want to be around. When we were talking about the grandbaby, like, I want to be around. I want to be around to maybe be a great grandmama. Like, she's 20 years from now, I could still be alive. I'm only 51. I could still 80. I could be a great grandma. I could, you know, like, come on. Come on. I could be a great grandma. Like, I just want to be around. So I got to stop giving lip service. I got to stop saying what I want to do. And like we talked about maybe 3 weeks ago, I got to create the plan. Like he was saying, the hamburger method. I don't know if it's the same thing, but create the plan. Get you a notebook. I got notebooks everywhere. Like I told y'all before, I love notebooks. One of my favorite colors, okay? I see a notebook. This is a single subject notebook. So get you a notebook. Is this one that I've done it with? No, this was something else. I was doing something in. But this is something like we were doing. So like with Diamond Star. So, you know, every month we was having stuff. So every month I created a page for everything that was going on. And then the plan was to go back in, now detail that out. And then my plan was to get a new notebook, like a smaller notebook, not as thick for each of those things. So go through, like, yeah, it's a lot. It is a lot. But when you go to college or when you're in school or when you're, you know, there's a lot to that. To college, you know, all those little details that you got to do, your life should be detailed. You can't fly by the seat of your pants with everything and just wake up, oh, what am I going to do today? Not if you have goals. Not if you have things that you want to accomplish, because you need to know where you are going. You're not going to hop in your car and be like, I want to get to California, and you've never been to California, and you're not going to get your phone out. You're not going to know how much gas you need, how much that gas is going to cost, what the best route is. Like, no, you're going to figure all of that out so that you have how much you're going to know. I need $200 for gas. I need this amount of money so that we can have food along the way. And this is the highway that we need to do. You're going to throw your MapQuest on. You're going to do that stuff. So you got to do the same thing with your goals. And we have different goals, right? So get one big sheet of paper, put it up on your wall somewhere where you can see it. These are my goals for this year. Six top things. I don't know. The six top things you want to do this year. Maybe even do a 5-year plan, a 3-year plan, a 1-year plan, and then break that 1-year plan down to 6 months. Okay. I need to have this much stuff done by 6 months so I can meet my 1-year goal, which means I can now work on my 3-year goal. Like, we don't want to do the work. We want to just say what it is that we want to do and then have it magically happen, or do the most minimalist effort and get the maximum results. You can't go to the gym one day a week and expect to lose 50 pounds in 2 months. Make it make sense. There's not that much working out in the world, because you would literally be sore the other 6 days if you tried to work out for 5 hours a day, and you still wouldn't. Because then if you're going back home and you eating all the same crappy food and everything, how are you going to lose 50 pounds in 2 months? We don't want to do the work. The work is tedious. They say, do what no one else will do now so you can live how people only dream to live later. If you don't do the work now, especially if you're young and you're watching this, do the work now. Like, the world tells you, oh, have fun in your 20s. Have fun. Do this. La, la, la. Life is a joke. Ha, 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 ha. Have fun in your 20s and in your 30s. And then get down and focus. Then why'd you go to college? Why would you go to college? Why would you spend all of that money on college to just have fun and not focus and not be orientated? We've got to teach our children better, because then we get mad at other people when their children are successful and when their children have things, but we are not pushing our children or steering them or instilling these values and goals in our children to do certain things. We're not making school a priority. We're not helping them plan what to do. We're not teaching them about checking accounts and bank accounts and even job applications. We're not teaching them about how people, you are judged on your appearance. You can't go into a job interview with pants down to your knees and, you know, your hair looking all a mess and you smell like weed and everything else, and now you want to get this job. Like, come on, man. Unless it's McDonald's, the grocery store maybe, but you can't walk into a business office looking like that and expect to get that job. That's not how it works. Like, we have got to instill these things and lead by example. You could be in your 40s and go back to school. You can be in your 40s, even if college isn't for you, you could be in your 40s and start going after your goals. And now you're showing your children how to go after theirs. Instill that in them. Talk about what it is that they want to do. Talk about what are their dreams and their goals, because they have them at 10, 12, 14, 16, 18. They have dreams. They have goals. They have interests. Show an interest in your children, in their dreams, in their goals, and things that they want to do, and start to show them things that they could do to get to that dream and their goal. There's a whole bunch of young entrepreneurs right now making bank because they have parents that see that this child is into this. Let me help them. Let me help them. Let me nurture that. Let me not shut it down and tell them, nah, you can't do that. You can't, man, please, whatever. Why? How do you know what they can do? If you gave them the right support, they could be great. It's all about the support. It's all about that belief system. And then we wonder why we turn into adults who have no confidence, because the people who were supposed to fill us and tell us how wonderful and how great we are and instill that in us ripped it all away. Told us we weren't nothing, told us we weren't going to be nothing, shot down every positive dream that we had. Because maybe we were a C student, they told us that you're going to only be able to work at McDonald's, and then get mad when you only do work at McDonald's. Like, but I thought that's what you said I was only going to be able to do, because I could only get C's in school, right? Check your circle. Check your circle. I say this, reevaluate your circle often. You do not want to be the only dreamer. You do not want to be the only person in your circle who has goals and who's trying to achieve them. Y'all can all have goals, But if nobody else but you is actively working to achieve those goals, you need a new circle. Or maybe you need to be the person that inspires some other people in the circle. Like, figure out why everybody is stagnant. Figure out why everybody else is just sitting on their dreams. And maybe you could rekindle that fire for the group. But if not, what's the talk like in that circle? When you're talking about your dreams and you got a vending event to go to and you're going to this conference that talks about the dream that you're trying to accomplish, what's the morale like with your circle of friends? Are they like, why are you going to do that? Or maybe they might be very uplifting and encouraging to you, but know your circle. Don't be immersed in a bunch of Debbie Downers. I don't know why we give these phrases names, like everybody who's Debbie is a downer. Don't be immersed in people who aren't positive. Like, the world has enough negativity. Like, social media today is just full of it. Everybody wants to see the fights. Everybody wants to see the person arguing. Everybody wants to see the violence. I don't know why. We've got to get away with it, away from it, rather. We need some people that are willing to spread some love, spread some joy, spread some smiles. So I don't know how many times I've said please or thank you to somebody and they look at me like I'm crazy because I might have been the first person to say please or thank you to them. Like, it's so far and rare that when you say it, people look at you like, oh, you're welcome. You know, when me and my husband go to the drive-thru and we give, can I please have, thank you very much. At the end, when they give you order, please pull forward. Or they say pull forward. And you're like, thank you. They're like, oh, you're welcome. Because they're not used to people interacting with them like that. So they stop doing it. If you do it, a lot of times they'll do it back. But somebody's got to be the person that enforces it, that says, nah, this is, I said please. So now you say thank you. You know what I mean? Like, somebody's got to be that person that just, my grandmother was that person. Like, I try so hard to embody my grandmother. My mother's mother was like positive all the time. Like, if you saw her raise her voice, you was waiting for the house to like fall down. This, she was just positive. She was always smiling. She was always happy. She was always laughing. Like, I don't know how she did it, because it wasn't like we were, you know, she was wealthy and everything was, you know, great. You came into her house, you knew you don't take your coat off or you're going to get sick, because you don't turn that heat on until it's time to go to bed. That's not what we do. She had a big old huge Victorian house that stayed cold. Don't you turn that oven on unless you're cooking. You know, it get cold, you turn the oven on while you're standing in the kitchen. Mm-mm, don't you do nothing. You better leave your sweater on. There was days when we had to keep our gloves on because it was just that cold. Hi, Frank. How are you? But I mean, be somebody's peace, be somebody's joy. You might be the only person in that person's life today that smiles at them, that says something kind to them. You don't know what they're going home to. They might be going home to no lights, no food in their refrigerator. They're at work just trying to keep a roof over their head. Forget food, forget anything else. You never know what somebody else is going through. And it doesn't excuse bad behavior. I'm not saying it excuses bad behavior. If somebody's being rude to you, I'm not saying, you know, kill them with kindness and ignore them being an ass to you. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying, think about maybe they might be going through something and that's why they're acting the way that they're acting. Doesn't excuse it in any way, shape, or form. That I don't condone bad behavior. But sometimes you could flip. My husband likes to say, you got all the keys, babe. You can flip my bad demeanor by with just a little bit of kindness. Sometimes you can flip somebody right out of their mood by not returning what they're giving to you. Because you can't control them. You can only control the you. And don't let their negativity flip you out of your peace. Basically, do the opposite. Try to flip them out of their bad energy with your kindness. Try to flip it the opposite way, you know? So yeah, peace and blessings to you as well, sir. We're going to cut it. I did start like a good hour late. So we ran over a little bit, but there's a show starting in 10 minutes. So I have got to hop off, but come back on Wednesday, 8:00. It is Sofa Chats. Tony and I will be here every Wednesday, Every other Wednesday, it is he and I. And then that extra Wednesday, it is Tony. So first and third Wednesday, it's T. Wade. And then second and fourth Wednesday, it is Sofa Chats. And then we figure out what to do on the fifth Wednesday. And then every Monday, I am here 11 a.m. And like I said, Trailblazers Radio is here on a regular, consistent basis. If you're watching from my page, Diamond Butterfly, or if you're watching from Trailblazers Radio, make sure you go and check out Trailblazers Radio and like, follow, subscribe, all that good stuff on all platforms. And if you would like to be a guest on the show, if you would like to have your music played on the show, if you have a commercial, something to review, all of that good stuff, I definitely do all of that, as well as some of the other podcasters on this platform. So I thank you once again for joining. I thank you for the questions, for getting to know me a little bit better. I appreciate you. I will get that our Blog Talk link and get it posted so that you guys can go check out some of the old shows. And you have a beautiful, wonderful, blessed day. I love you all. Bye.